Well, as you can probably already tell tonight, we're going to be talking about choices. Choices. Something that you've been making or doing all day. By the fact that you're here tonight, it tells me whether you knew it or not, you chose to come. And there's been a lot of things that you've been choosing to do all day. I want you to just take some time to look around you. Person next to you, behind you. Get a weird, few weird looks here and there. But you see people that are people in progress. People making choices. Choices. Why don't you tell me some of the choices that you encountered in making today? What were some of the things that you chose to do? Okay, to go to class? What? Not to go to class. To get up? To not to get up. What else? What did you make a choice to do today? Not to eat? What to eat? Oh, not to eat. Or maybe for some of us, not to eat. Well, as you can tell, and probably as you're reviewing your own day, it was a day full of choices. And that's the thing that I'm coming to see more and more, the importance of living purposefully. Life is a series of choices. A series of choices. Some are sequential. Some are very consequential. But there will be choices that you'll be encountering. And it's important that we come to an understanding of those. There are so many forces and so many influences that play upon us, all around us. And yet, by the fact of choice, we have the power to choose how these forces and influences will really affect us. So the question that I want us to think about tonight is not really, will we be making choices? We'll be making choices. The question is, what kind of choices will we purpose to make? And tonight, we don't really have that much time left. I wanted to share just briefly some of the choices that God has led me to making so far. My mother ordered about 5 of those. So. But I wanted to share briefly my personal testimony tonight. Some of you I don't know, some of you I do know, but to let you know what God has done in my own life just in bringing me to the point of choices, and to then have a time of meditation at the end for us to think through what are some of the choices that we are going to need to be making in order to become the men and women that God wants us to make. I know in my own life I became aware of choices very early. One very special thing I can remember in the first grade, at least one day out of every week, my dad would come up to the elementary school and pick me up, and it was our afternoon to spend the afternoon together. And I had the choice for us to do anything that we wanted to do. We could go get ice cream, we could go get a Coke, but I was learning the process of choices. I can remember also the allowance process. You probably remember when you first got, you know, your dollar a week or whatever it was. Some of you probably are still dealing with looking through your allowance, but the matter of choice. And then quite early, I began to come to understand something about the consequences of choices. Now, if you don't treat your brother and sister right, you're going to have to go to your room. Well, I can remember sometimes in the afternoon, Mom saying, well, okay, you can go out and play right now, but if you don't practice your piano this afternoon, you're going to have to practice it tonight. So I began to understand a little bit about the consequences of choice. And yet it wasn't until I reached the age of about 11 that I began to realize that there were some eternal consequences of choice that we all make. And I was raised in a Christian home, had a fine Christian environment to grow up in, knew a lot about God, but not until I began to really understand that I was a sinner, a person that wanted to go my own way, did I really begin to understand that I personally had to make a choice based on my own actions, and that choice would really be dealing with eternal consequences. And that was an exciting time in my life when I began to realize for the first time that God cared for me. In my own life, I really didn't begin growing. I think Cindy was the one that mentioned some aspects about having a period in your life where you weren't really growing. I didn't really start growing until even my college days, but I can remember doing that time of the interim between my salvation experience and the time that God really began to call me to walk with Him, beginning to understand a little bit about the way God had called me to choose and to act and to walk. Some of you may have read or know about the man Spurgeon. There's a story that I like about him. The story goes and talks about the times early in the morning that Spurgeon enjoyed spending time out in his garden. And the story goes that as he was walking out in the garden many mornings, he began almost to start questioning God. And one morning he was looking around and he noticed these pumpkin plants. And the pumpkins were so large in comparison to the plant. He couldn't understand why the vine was so small and thin. And here was this huge pumpkin. He began looking around and he began to notice these large plants. And the fruit or vegetable that they produced were very small. And he almost began questioning God's will. And about that time, one day, as Spurgeon was out walking around, the wind was blowing, and he walked under a pecan tree. And a gust of wind came up, and a little pecan fell off and just caught him on the top of the head. And Spurgeon stopped and stepped back, and he thought a moment. And then he said, "God, thank you for knowing what you were doing. I could have died if that had been a pumpkin." And I think about that story a lot, and I think God is a God of choice. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. And he is a God of purpose and knowing exactly what to do. And that began to be very meaningful to me. And the way it began to be very meaningful to me was my junior year at Baylor University. I was majoring in religion and psychology. And somehow that year, I couldn't quite get some things together. I was studying very, very humanistic studies in the area of psychology. And we were beginning to get into the work of the Holy Spirit in my religion studies. And somehow, I just couldn't quite put those two together. If I was a victim of my circumstances, then how could the Holy Spirit direct me and remold me and reshape me? And I can remember one night over in a North Russell dorm, Baylor University, Waco, Texas, coming to one of those crisis situations in my own life, and I just had to get out. I went down to the study hall, and luckily there was no one there that night. God knew that it was a place that we would encounter one another in a special way for me to make the choice of my life to really give myself in a consistent way to walking and growing with Him. And I can remember getting on my knees at night and saying, "God, I don't understand this. I know I'm supposed to learn this, and I know I'm supposed to be passing these tests. But something doesn't jive. Something is not right." And as I was there on my knees that night, some things began to come together. And it was a knowledge that I would be in the world, but I could not be of it. And that night, I can go back to that night, it was in the spring of my junior year, that I said, "God, I don't know what it's going to cost, but I'm going to purpose from this day forward to be a Christian." And at that point, I felt like God was calling me into that bay or of Christian work, which I didn't know for sure what that meant at that time. But I said, "God, I'm going to purpose to be the best Christian that you designed Pam Rogers to be." And that has been just as Barry shared. I love that illustration. It may seem like bondage to the world, but it is freedom. Because every time that God directs me now to make a choice, I can go back to that decision. No, that's the decision. I don't have to worry about going over into this area or going over into that area. I can purpose to live because I've already made the overall decision. There's still decisions to be made. There'll still be choices. It's kind of like following a road map. I remember the first time this summer that I tried to find Norman. I left Fort Worth and I was coming up here and I was driving just like this and the map was right there and I kept my eyes on the road, the wheel, and the map all the way. And there was that sense of insecurity. I thought, "Oh, what if I miss this?" And right there was all the way, 35, all the way on up. But there was that still sense of insecurity. Well, the second trip wasn't quite so bad. The third trip, I had it all the way down. And that's the way it is. If we really want to learn to live our life on purpose, accomplishing the things that God has created us to accomplish, we need to know the way. We need to know the purpose. And this is just a series I could go and share time after time the way God brought me in my own life to a point of purpose, of purposing to make the choice. Graduating from Baylor, one of the things that I felt like God was calling me into, even in high school, was to investigate student work. He led me through Baylor, and there seemed to be some closed doors there. At one time, I talked to some people, and they were like, "Well, there's no way that women can be in student work. You'll have to go either on the West Coast because it's liberal, or either go north because they don't care who does student work there, but surely not in Texas." But somehow, God continued to speak to me and said, "I want you in psychology, I want you in religion, and I want you to continue to seek my face in the area of student work." And upon graduation from Baylor, a door was opened for me to be able to go on staff there at Baylor. And I can look back and see that God is the one that had brought me to the point of purposing to choose and purposing to grow. And apart from his direction, there really would have been no choice. I would have not been able to choose. There's a lot of things I could share tonight, and just due to time, I wanted you to hear from Barry, I wanted you to hear from Cindy, and I wanted you to at least hear from two people that are before you and among you and with you that are making choices. And I know in your own lives, as you go back, you can come to the point of choices that God has brought you to. And I guess the thing that I'd really want us to think about tonight is, how are we purposing to choose? You just kind of go through life, and as a decision or a choice comes up, you just kind of click your mind on and say, I think I'll go this way, or I think I'll go that way. Well, God can use that, and he will use that. He's sovereign. But how much more will he begin to use us if we'll be the men and women that purpose to live life in the direction that he's called us to live? I think about this. There's been a lot of times that I've thought about, oh, I'd really like to learn to play the guitar. But it's not until I really purpose to get down and do that is it going to become a part of my life. There are things in your own lives that you're wanting to do, but until you come to that point of determining, of really purposing to see those happen, they're not going to happen. I know in my own life, one of the things that seems like God is calling me to more than ever before is to really be an effective communicator of the Word. There are so many speakers these days, there are so many seminars, everyone has their own notebook, but very few effective communicators. And yet I know with that, it's going to be a cost. It's going to be being in the Word, memorizing the Word, meditating on the Word, purposing. And I know to the vast majority of the world, the Christian life really is not even known. There's a small group of people, even people that call themselves Christian, that know about the abundant life and want to get in on that power and glory and the joy and the happiness and peace, and yet somehow they've never found it. And yet, there's a few people throughout the world that really have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. They've chosen. They've made the choice that this one thing they'll do. And I know as I stand up here tonight and see your faces and just think about the life that God has given each one of you, I wonder where you'll be in 20 years from now. Will you be the same person? If we were to meet back in this room in 20 years from now and sat in the same chairs, would we be the same people? I trust not. But the real key will be, how much will we purpose to live? How much will we purpose to not let the world influence us? How much will we purpose to move ahead and to go in a real direction? You may have heard the story about this lady that lived in Australia. And the story goes that one Christmas she got a new boomerang. But it goes on to say that, I mean, this was her great Christmas gift. But it goes on to say that she spent the rest of the year trying to throw away this old boomerang. And it just kept coming back. And, you know, there are a few basic things in life that we can't get away from. And it's a matter of choices that you'll be coming up with time and time and time again. Think about that. I want us tonight to take some time. I've asked Susan to come and to just play some music for us. I have some sheets up here that I drew up this afternoon with some questions on them. I'd like for us to take them. And to spend some time just thinking through the questions. Maybe you'll just want to spend some time in prayer. I know in my own life it may seem like I have a lot of things together, since I was talking about, you know, all the purposes and choices that I've already made. But probably in my life I stand at a point, I know what I want to give my life to, but there are a lot of choices that I can clearly see that I'll be facing in the near future. And unless I really purpose, number one, to get to know God better and better, and purpose to let my heart receive what's on God's heart, and then purpose to be faithful in that walk, I may be the same person 20 years from now that I am today. So I want us to think just about the choices. Think about the choices that you've made today. Think about the choices that you're considering. And then after this, I want us to take... Why don't you go ahead and start these back? Yeah. I know I've talked to a lot of people, even this week, people that are encountering choices and decisions of major, people that are really dealing with, maybe their junior year, changing a major, people that are really dealing with a choice concerning a relationship, dealing with some choices in finances. I mean, choices are the steps that our life are made on. They're the most important mental gymnastics that we encounter. And they are the things that will determine if we really live abundantly, if we just exist, or if we die. And so as Susan plays, I want us to just take the time to pray, to think through these questions. Where are you? Where do these questions hit you? How will you respond?
Thank you.
dreaming of the job in Seattle. I really didn't know where God wanted me to go or really even what he wanted me to be doing. I thought, well, God, it's been 5 years in student work. Could this be the close of the door? Could it be a new vocation, a completely different change in location, another country? And as I sat before the Lord and walked in his word, he led me to Psalms 25, chapter 25, verses 12 through 14. And it says, what is a person that fears the Lord? Who is a person that fears the Lord? Then he goes on to answer the question. It says, he is the one that God will teach in the way that he should choose. Verse 13 says, and his soul will be at peace, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. And then 14 goes on and says that even the Lord's secret covenants he will reveal to him. The key to choice in deciding and choosing is fearing God. I wanted us to close out the evening just as we've had some time for the Holy Spirit to really speak to us in our own individual ways. For maybe five or six to volunteer to just stand up and pray for the group here. We're all making decisions. And to just pray for a protection of hearts, to just that our hearts would be prepared and ready to follow hard after God. That, you know, we're at a point of making life decisions right now. Vocation, degrees, mates, relationships. And oh, that we would just bind ourselves together to really pray for one another during this time. And that in the days to come we could walk together and to support one another and to determine that together we will choose and have the fulfilled life, the joy and the happiness, the peace that God created us to have. I wonder if I might see about five hands and that could would volunteer for a minute. Okay, back here, Connie, up there. Two more. I feel Bob. Okay, let's just have a season of prayer. Maybe you'll just stand up and pray for the group.
Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us as a Christian, a child of yours. I thank you, Lord, that that Holy Spirit leads us to that still small voice tells us when we need to go one direction or the other. Father, we thank you for your promise that where two or more gathered, we will be with you. Whatsoever two or more would bind around her, that's such a good thing that we do have a temple to do. And Father, right now we claim that promise that you would, in fact, touch the lives of each and every person here, that you would be faithful making the choices obvious to us, and that we would be faithful. First off, committing our lives totally and completely to Jesus Christ and His kingdom, and then making human choices along the way that would back up what we do. And also to help us individually day by day, little things that don't seem to amount to much, but yet may have far reaching consequences that we might do. Father, we thank you that you are watching over us, that you are guiding us, and you are all.
Now we are grateful for your presence here tonight, Father. And Father, I'm thankful for all the people here in this room. Father, these precious people who you have sent your Son to die for us on the cross. God, I'm grateful to you for that. And Lord, I'm reminded of the campus across the street and so many people there. And the many people that I come into contact with each day in class. Father, the choices that we make and the decision you gave in Deuteronomy still stands before us. You admonish us today to choose between life and death, and then you say to us, choose life. And Father, God, we want to choose that. We want to choose a life of joy and peace and happiness and fulfillment, and we want to be like Jesus. But Father, we are so fragile and so vain in our thinking, and we've fallen. Lord, we fall after just simple follies. And we give our time to the insignificant. And God, ask your forgiveness for those things. And Lord Jesus, help us to be your people, people like Jesus, people, Lord, that you have used through the ages, people like David and people like Paul and Peter. We want to be men like this. Those kind of men, Lord, characterize the life of Christ. And we want that kind of life. We want to manifest that to the world. And Father, those are the choices. Those are the desires of our heart. We want to be those kind of people. And God, I pray that, Lord, the awesome responsibility you've given us to make the choice. You don't choose for us. Lord, we've asked you to be Lord God of our life. But still, Lord, you require of us the choice of our will. And I pray that you give us personal inner strength and endurance to make those choices and personal discipline to follow through with them. God, I pray for each one in this room. In some way, Lord, they are at the point of a crossroads, perhaps not a major choice at this point in their life. But Father, days and time is slipping by, and each of us daily must make that decision to spend time in your Word, to spend time with you and your people, spend time with non-Christian people, talking to them about Christ. And even in this room, Lord, there are some who yet have not made the most important decision of all, to know Jesus personally, to invite him to be Lord and Master of their life. So I pray that your Holy Spirit convict them of that need. And Father, convict us each of the need that we have. Father, of using our time wisely, of spending the time with you that is necessary to accomplish the things with the life you've given us. Father, thank you for Pam and the thoughtfulness that she put into the Vespers tonight. And God, the conviction of your Spirit that has gone out among us to convict us to think about what are we giving our lives to? What do we want our lives to add up to? And Father, what do we want to see accomplished through our lives? Thankful to you, God, for life itself. And Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight, even tonight, as we will make choices about how even tomorrow will be used. Thank you, God, for this personal time.
Yes, Father, we do thank you for all this. And we agree together in all the requests that have been expressed. And Father, we're grateful that you chose in the very beginning to reach down to us and to love us and to walk with us. And you've given us your Spirit that will never leave us or forsake us. So, Father, we just ask again that you would teach us what it is to really fear you. And we thank you, God, for the promise that you will teach us in the way that we should choose. Father, we love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.